It's Mother's Day 2022, and I felt very compelled today to speak about what makes motherhood possible to begin with. And my message to you today is the fact that gender is sacred. Male and female is sacred. And I'm going to be in Genesis 1:27, and I feel very much constrained to keep it focused upon what is in the Word. A lot of times I like to talk to you about what I might think God had envisioned, like how male and female envisions our future. This comparison that I've already read to you about Christ being the bridegroom and redeemed humanity, the church being the bride. But it is a mystery that I don't fully understand. However, what has been revealed to us in God's Word is very understandable and very clear. And so in Genesis 1:27, I read the following. In the English Standard Version of the Scriptures, which I'll use all throughout this message, it reads the following, just 27 verses into Genesis. Moses writes the following. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And then, of course, Genesis 1 gives us the synopsis, the short version, and Genesis 2 gives us a little more detail. And that happens elsewhere in the Scriptures, where you have the short version, and then the longer version is explained afterwards. The word here for male is zakar in the Hebrew Bible, in Genesis, the book of beginnings. And then the word for female is nek-a-ba. And these are Hebrew words, so we don't totally understand it. But in our world today, there's certain terms which have become controversial and terms that we haven't heard in the past, say, 20 years ago, in the year 2000 and before. We didn't hear a lot about binary gender discussions or binary sex. But the Bible, an ancient document which is thousands of years old, talked about the origin of binary, which means it's either one or the other, male or female, just 27 verses into the writings of Moses. It's at the beginning of the book, and the two terms express the most fundamental division of humanity that you probably experienced when you were in kindergarten or first grade or before, where the boys were to do one thing and the girls were to do another. The boys were to use the boys' room, restroom, and the girls were to use the girls' restroom. God created humanity and the sexually reproducing creatures of the earth as binary, and there's just two choices. Mark Seitz doesn't say this. In fact, Mark Seitz doesn't have a say in the matter. The Bible, as we understand it, very clearly lays this out. In Genesis 2:18, the discussion continues, and it says this. And I'm going to read Genesis 2:18 and then 21 through 23 to the end of chapter 2. So what we're talking about scientifically, which Moses didn't know, but we know today, is that within the cells of every male, whether it's that 10-pound, 6-ounce, was yours a son too, Ronnie? Your 10-pound, was it Ryan? Your other, okay. But it's a son, right? So within her 10-pound, 6-ounce son, as well as mine, as well as my body, is an X chromosome and a Y chromosome. And within every girl and within every mother is an X chromosome and an X chromosome. And if a girl in today's society chooses to take testosterone to reduce feminine features, as well as have physical surgeries upon the body, her genetics still have, despite changes to the outward appearance, the body still has an X and an X. And a boy, even though he might take estrogen to lighten his voice or surgery to remove his masculine genitalia, his chromosomes are still going to be an X and a Y. And the Bible is very explicit about these issues in that in the Old Testament, if a man was demasculated physically, he wasn't to enter the tabernacle or the temple. It was a promise in which it affirmed manhood as well as womanhood, in that God didn't want men transitioning to women or women transitioning to men. And it isn't a real transition. It's a fake transition. And that news about that isn't something that Christians are trying to say, hey, we just came up with this, and we're going to see how this goes. This is something that's ancient, and it's something that we know in our bodies, and it's something that no matter what happens in 2023 or 2024 or 2025 or so on, it's something that when we arrive in heaven, there's going to be two categories of human beings in heaven. There's going to be resurrected males, and there's going to be resurrected females. There's no other choice. Now, someone might ask, they might say, well, Pastor, what about somebody that is born with some sort of difficulty in their physical body, where maybe there's some manifestations of both, hermaphrodite, just to say it the way it is. I think we need to say it the way it is sometimes. There is this very rare instance where somebody might be deformed or something at birth, but the thing about it is extremely rare. And what will happen is that that individual, if they have kids, their kids are going to be either male or female. That this, in fact, it might be a, that person might not be able to reproduce. So we certainly have compassion toward difficult circumstances or people that have been abused or various different things. But this is a very modern phenomenon to think that you could transition from one gender, from one sex to another. Is everybody with me? Now, someone might say, well, I disagree with that. And the Judeo-Christian worldview is that is okay because we're not forcing anyone to necessarily believe one thing or another. And you and I, all of us as believers, are listening to the world and what they're saying on this topic right now. Are we not? But we as believers are to be discipled by the Word, because Jesus said that the Word is truth and the Word sets us free. And so I liken it to this, that even though I'm a Christian, I have an open mind, but my mind isn't so open that when I bend over, my brain's going to fall out and onto the ground. Do you know what I'm saying? So let me continue on in Genesis, and this is what Genesis talks about. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." And so Adam's been naming the different animals, and he's probably been noticing that among the elk, we have the bulls and the cows. And among the deer, we have, what do we call the deer? The bucks and the does. And there's different names for all sorts of different critters out there. I learned that at a baby party. What do you call those? Baby shower for Danny Rojo and his wife having a baby. All the different critters and their offspring are called something. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And the word for man here is Adam, known as Adam. And Adam means of the earth, red-faced or dirt. And what it is the fact that Adam was created out of the earth. And remember the curse that was later placed upon Adam? We even say this at funerals. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And in God's word, in Genesis 3, God says, "Now from the dust you came, and to the dust you will return in death." So the Adam, the man, is asleep. And while he slept, God took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib is the side, the whole side, although it may have been just one rib. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Now, if you want to think about this at a scientific level, what this probably was, because I believe that Adam was a literal man, and I believe that Eve was a literal woman. And I also believe, and I believe that the Bible testifies to this, that all of the genetic diversity and racial characteristics, like dark-skinned among Africans, different kind of eyelids among Asians, different kind of hair patterns and things like this. I got to go to Africa about 10 years ago and got a haircut in Mwanza, Tanzania, on the southern shore of Lake Victoria. And the native African man that was cutting my hair was laughing the whole time. He thought my hair was so funny and so different. But I needed a haircut, and so I got a very good haircut from an African man. But all these different characteristics were genetically, I believe, present in Adam and Eve. And what Eve probably was, what God probably did, we would probably call a clone of Adam, taking the genetic material of Adam, but creating the first creature we think, although we're not sure, but we think it was the first conscious being in all of the cosmos that at that point was feminine. The first created being that was feminine. And so the angels, and this is my speculation, that's not scripture, but every time the Bible talks about angels, it talks about them being men. It talks about them specifically being male. We don't know a whole lot about the angels in comparison to mankind, but let me stick to the text. He took that and made into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woe man because she was taken out of the man." Of course, woman. The words here in the Hebrew are ish and isha. Ish and isha. Same as how we say male and female, that they're both human and yet one is different from the other. They're each different. So those are the Hebrew words in Genesis 2:23. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Now, at this point, as best we understand it, there's no kids. There's no mother and father. There's just a husband and a wife at this point. But God's revealing to them that as you have kids, as you multiply, as you fill the earth and have dominion over it, the plan is for the boys to leave mom and dad and bind to the girls, and that their mother and father will give up the girl to the husband-to-be, and they'll become one flesh. They'll become soldered together. They'll become melded together. They'll become intermingled. "And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." And then we read the following in Genesis 3:20. "The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living." The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. So Adam I already talked about. It means earth or red. And just like some of the earth in different places like Utah is red soil in parts of Arizona and possibly the Garden of Eden, so too is our blood red as well. The name Eve or Chava means life giver, and it's connected to the word in Hebrew for living. So, this is pretty basic. This is pretty Sunday school. And yet, who would have thought 20 years ago that it would be controversial for a Christian preacher anywhere in America to say, God created us human as males and females, and there's no other possibility. And yet, this is the truth, and this is ancient. There's a couple books other than the Bible that kind of capture my imagination because our society is beginning to look more like the novel 1984 by George Orwell and the novel Brave New World than it looks like this book. But the culture that we grew up in looked a little bit more like the Bible on this issue and on many others. But let me tell you why our world looks very dystopian. In the book, 1984, George Orwell envisions a world, and if you haven't read the book, read it. The movie doesn't do it justice. When I saw the movie, I was like, nah, the book's way better. Don't even watch the movie. But a lot of the work that the main character Winston in the book 1984, a lot of what he was doing is his coworkers and him were continually rewriting history, and he would take scraps out of photographs and newspapers and other media, and he would throw it down the memory hole. And the memory hole is where different things that now had changed would be totally erased by being burned up with fire. And in the book, they say, hey, we're at war with East Asia, and everybody does their 2 minutes of hate, and they say, we hate East Asia. They're our enemy, and this unites us together, and it gives us strength. And it kind of makes me think how in our society, it was like, we're all doing the right thing by covering our faces and getting vaccinated, and it's the right thing. And then the thing changed to Russia. We all hate Russia. We're all at war with East Asia. And in the book, all of a sudden, they'll say, now we're at war with West Asia. And everybody was supposed to forget the previous thing. And during their 2 minutes of hate, they'd say, now we hate West Asia. And they were supposed to forget in an instance what had happened the day before. And so how they accomplished this in the book 1984 is by shrinking the dictionary and shrinking words into a language called newspeak, to the point where eventually they will shrink the thinking of the population so that they can increase control. And the control is by a man that they never see, but he's called Big Brother. And he's got a masculine jawbone, and he's got a dark mustache. And Orwell fashioned this, of course, on Stalin. In Brave New World, it was very different. In Brave New World, people were simply revulsed by the idea of having a mother or a father, because every baby was born in a test tube, and there was no motherhood or fatherhood in the novel Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. In fact, at one point, a government controller who's manipulating different things, one of the protagonists or the lead characters in that story gets the guy fired because they bring this mom from a reservation in New Mexico, and she knows the guy. I don't remember the particular, some of you might, but they're just like, motherhood, oh, sick, that's so nasty and gross. For somebody to actually give birth to a baby and cuddle it and coddle it and feed it and care for it. They find it absolutely revolting, because in the Brave New World, there are no families. The children go to school, they go to centers, and they are encouraged or groomed to sexually experiment with one another at a very early age, and even into adulthood, such that every child doesn't belong to a family, a mother and father, but they belong to one another, and this is the world of the Brave New World. So I would posit to you that our society is beginning to look a lot like these books and a lot less like the Bible. And yet, here's the conundrum, but also the liberating truth of the Bible. I'm talking to you about how gender is sacred today, but more fundamental than that, the thrust of my message really boils down to the first scripture that I ever memorized as a teenager. I grew up in a non-believing home, and I remember asking my mom, I said, hey, do we believe in God? And my mom, you know, said, yes, we do. But the change really came in my life when I heard a youth group of people talking about Jesus Christ, and I thought they were swearing. And then I realized they were talking about somebody true, and I prayed that prayer of receiving him into my life, because they said that was very important, to receive Christ into your life, to accept him as Savior. And so I did, and I began reading his word, and the first verse from his word, or the Bible, that I ever memorized was Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And you know, if I only fulfilled and lived out that one verse in my entire life, I would be okay. Because the world, the flesh, and the devil wants us to not trust God and not trust what he's written in his word. But the Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. In other words, he is unchanging. And Jesus said, actually, I'll get to that in a moment. No, I'll do it right now. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So like C.S. Lewis said in Mere Christianity, you know, this guy, Jesus, is either a liar, in that some of the stuff that he said or all the stuff he said wasn't true and we can just dismiss it. Or he was a lunatic. He was crazy talking about resurrection and crucifixion and healing people and, you know, casting out demons and doing all the wonderful things. Or like I've come to know and most of you have come to know, he's not a liar and he's not a lunatic. He's the Lord. He really did fashion us as men and women to the glory of God. And there is something mysterious in that sacred gender sexual identity of our maleness and our femaleness that reflects the Godhead in all of his truth and beauty and holiness. And we might not know everything about what that is, but what he has revealed to us is that we are male and female. It is his plan not only for society to be organized along the lines of families and marriages, but for the large majority of us, and I would dare say, and I do say, for 100% of God's redeemed, they settle in to God's identity for themselves as men or as women. Jesus said, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the alternative, just like this issue or any other issue where if you don't trust the Lord with your relationships, with your finances, with all these other things, but we're here on Mother's Day. And I like to joke around with people and I say, hey, happy birthing person day, just as a joke, because I don't totally believe that, but I love joking around. But our world is increasingly believing these things that are not only harmful and foolish, but will lead to more harm of children in the future. And I think ultimately what it's going to lead to spiritually, this is me talking and not the scriptures, but I think it's going to lead people ultimately into transhumanism, where people are going to say, Gary, you can have an upgrade. You now get to be human 2.0, and you'll live 200 years. And your DNA is going to be changed, and then we're going to give you another upgrade. You're going to be human 2.1, and then 2.2. And whatever this is, and we don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but that's Mark's little theory. I'll stop on that right now. The other verse that I wanted to show was from Isaiah, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. So not only is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, but his word is as well. And those who find refuge and freedom in the Lord find the place of blessing, because the Lord said, it's not just in knowing his word, but in doing it that we are blessed. Do you realize how blessed we are as believers to have this gift of the word? Here's a little more theory, and I'll leave you with this, because I always like to kind of think about what things might be, but I will keep it scriptural. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. The idea here, and this is my theory, and this might not be the case, but the Word of God is true that as we go into the latter times, the end times, it says that these, if we follow certain doctrines of demons, teachings of demons and deceitful spirits, part of it is the forbidding of marriage and the abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving. Interesting. I wonder, because our world today, whether it is Asia, East Asia or West Asia, whether it's Africa, whether it's the Americas, the whole world, Muslim, Catholic, Protestant, Hindu, the people, the Shinto people, the secular humanists, the whole world is increasingly under one global media, and the whole world is being changed by different ideas. We're not the only ones. And so I wonder, is part of this the whole world going to this new way where we no longer cleave to one man? If we're a woman, we no longer, one woman and one man that don't cleave together and be married anymore, because people have come up with all kinds of new expressions and new ideas, not only of marriage, but of gender identity, of sexuality, and a million different things. May God help us, because none of us are perfect. But even in our imperfection, God has still stamped upon us a particular pattern that He gave us in Genesis. And that pattern is male and female, which leads to us having mothers and fathers. And if we choose to be wed, to also create that opportunity to be a mother and father if the Lord enables us to have children as well. So, Father, we thank You for this pattern which is revolutionary and yet so common, basic sense, old school. That we as men are called, as we read today, to love our wives, and wives are called to submit to and respect their husbands. And I think in many ways the greater burden on those of us who are married is upon us as the men, because we are the covenant initiators. We are to provide for and listen to and dwell with our wives with understanding. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, as men, for letting our culture as well as the flesh run rampant in our communities and in the church and in the world around us. Forgive us, we pray, that You would heal our land, Lord Jesus. We pray boldly, Father, today that You would help us as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ to live our lives filled with the Holy Spirit, as Spirit-filled men and women to the glory of God, and that You would be merciful to us, because our children and grandchildren in high school and in junior high are experiencing a radically different reality than we could ever think or imagine. Show us, Heavenly Father, through prayer, how we can hold the line on truth in our own mind within the church, as well as influence our community and our nation and our state for good and for godliness. And Father, we pray that You would bind our nation together in peace as it's threatened to be ripped apart by fears and by prejudices and by the violence of abortion. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You would indeed give America this year a jubilee from the unjust law of Roe versus Wade. We have received a glimpse that it is to be overturned, and we pray that You'd protect our Supreme Court justices, our legislators, our law enforcement people, our senators, our administrators, everybody in places of position and authority. And help us, Lord Jesus, to understand that our position of authority is simply to stand our ground. And saints, I want to give you, or those who technically are not saints yet, if this talk of the Bible and Jesus Christ is new to you, I want to invite you today It might seem like a strange time, but God might be calling you today to receive him into your life so that your life can be founded upon the truth, so that you can build your life upon that eternal ancient truth of God's law as well as God's grace, that you can receive the Lord Jesus by praying a simple prayer like this: Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner. I need you to save me, and I ask you to come in and cleanse me and forgive my sin, Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe in you, that you died on the cross for my sin, that you're raised from the grave, and I take you as my own. Now, if those words are too much for you, you can simply tell the Lord, Lord, come in. I want you. And he's going to understand. And I'm here to talk with you more if you need spiritual counseling or more time. But we always want to give people that opportunity. If you're a Christian and you feel that there's different areas in your life that you have regret or sorrow or confusion about, because all of us are broken. None of us are perfect in our identity or our sexuality. And yet God is calling you as a single person, as a divorced person, as a married person, in whatever calling of life, it's about you being filled with the Holy Spirit and you having the strength to resist the lies of the enemy that tells you that you are no good or that you need to do something for God to approve of you. There's different sins that we all have, and all God wants us to do to experience the forgiveness and freedom is to confess them to him. He is our high priest, and he is our Savior, and he bled on the cross to forgive you of every last thing, and he's not surprised by things that we don't want to talk about, and he doesn't have a red face over things that embarrass us. He needs for us to confess those things to him and vocalize those things to him that we might be free, where we can simply say, Lord, forgive me of my lust. Forgive me of my adultery. Forgive me of the murder in my heart and countless other sins and lies and things that have stood in between me and you. So I want to invite you to renewed fellowship this morning. Now, saints, if you would stand with me as I bless you in this benediction. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for our moms. Bless them, we pray today. And we commit to you to bless them as well. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you shameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. God bless you.